DW Spectrum with Gabriel Borrod and Connor Dillon.
And you heard it right, ladies and gentlemen. Gabriel Borrod is back.
Welcome to Spectrum. I'm back. I'm back here in Germany. I was on parental leave for about three months there.
For a while. You've been gone for quite a while, Gabe.
Yeah, but I am back, and that's the main thing, Connor. Let's get this going.
How are you feeling, Gabe?
I'm fine. I'm fresh. I am feeling good. I am healthy.
Quality time with your family.
Oh, my God, yeah. 3 months of it. As a matter of fact, I'm happy to be back.
So, as many of you know, Gabe was gone for quite a while. I tried to hold the fort. I hope I held the fort. If you have any comments on that, please send them to spectrum@dw.com. And I'm happy that Gabe is back because, Gabe, you're an important part of the show, and we have a lot planned for this year. We will not divulge all of that now, but we've got very, very big plans for this year and some very big changes, again, very positive changes coming. Gabe, when you were on parental leave, you spent a lot of time exercising.
Yeah. I was working out at least 3-4 times a week with my dad in the field house in our town in Beaver Dam, and I am healthier. I am a better human being now because of it. I won't bog you down with the details, but Connor, I'm in good shape.
You are in good shape. You're looking good, Gabe. You're looking healthy. And for our most devoted listeners, we'll come back to this topic in just a few minutes. You'll know that about a year ago, Gabe and I discussed New Year's resolutions, and that was one of the resolutions. Gabe, we'll get into that more later, but you've held on to that one very well. And that is the topic, at least for the first part of this show, New Year's resolutions. And you might be wondering, in fact, you should be wondering, why we're talking about them now. It's January. Most of the time you hear about these things in December. So why now? Well, it's because we have reached a point, by the time you are listening to this, we will have passed the point at which most people will have failed at their New Year's resolutions. I'm basing this off some data that was collected, accumulated by a social media network for athletes. It goes by the name of Strava. And about a year ago, they took a look, they analyzed more than 30 million online global activities. And in looking at them, what they realized is that most people tend to fail on the second weekend of January.
January 12th is the day.
Yeah, and
when the New Year's resolutions break down.
Which is sad.
No, that is a sad day.
It
but
is,
the reason
yeah.
why we're doing this show now is because this is so important. I mean, the idea of trying to change, to improve, to make yourself better is the essence of humanity. I mean, we are obsessed with trying to get better, and this day symbolizes our failure.
And later in the show, we are going to talk to someone who's going to illuminate kind of
why that is.
Why that is, and also which goals we should or should not set and how we should go about setting New Year's resolutions to make ourselves better individually and therefore as a society, as a human society.
But first, let's talk to the people.
Yeah, that's stop number one. Here in the German city of Bonn in Western Germany, Gabe and I went out because we wanted to hear from real people. You know, what are you planning? What are your New Year's resolutions? How are you trying to make yourself better in 2020? Have either of you made a New Year's resolution for 2020?
No. Sorry.
None?
No.
Why not?
Because it never works.
Yeah.
It always fails anyway, so.
Okay, so wait a minute. It never works. That means you've made a New Year's resolution before?
Yeah, when I was 12 or so. So, yeah, you gotta do more sports. And then.
And what happened?
Yeah, well, it worked the first week, and then after that, it just kind of faded. Because I was lazy, and I kind of still am, so.
Yeah, more sport, learn earlier, and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, it's these things we should do, but we don't.
So who tells you that you should do them?
Kind of myself, kind of parents, kind of society.
You're smoking a cigarette right now.
Yes.
And last year you wanted to stop. That was your New Year's resolution. Why did that fail?
Kann ich nicht genau sagen, weil ich süchtig bin und das nicht geschafft habe. Ich war da nicht konsequent genug.
I'm not really sure. Because I'm addicted and I just couldn't do it. I didn't have the willpower. This year I'm not going to set such concrete goals. I think people sometimes want things that don't match who they are or what they're capable of. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm trying to take a look at how I can make myself better in the long run, not with one huge goal, just small steps.
Nicht sich so ein krasses Ziel setzen, indem man vielleicht scheitert, sondern man macht kleine Schritte.
Toby, thank you for that.
Good luck.
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
What he just said in German was baby steps.
Yeah. Did you make a New Year's resolution this year?
Yes. I'm trying to be more positive.
Okay, so concretely, you're trying to be more positive in 2020. Yeah. What's one thing you're doing to make that happen? Just one.
I don't know. It's just that I'm really like stressing a lot about things, or if something negative happens, I get stressed a lot about that. And then my boyfriend suggested that I should try to be more positive, and I'm trying to do that. And when I'm being negative, he's going to remind me to be more positive, something like that.
Okay, so this came as a suggestion from him. It's been a little bit over a week now.
Yes.
Have you noticed a difference in the way you feel, how your life is going in these 10 days?
Not really.
Has your boyfriend?
I don't know. It was just like a thing that we said. It's not like a real resolution that I'm trying. I don't know. I feel like it's worked because I cannot tell you a specific situation where I've been really negative, but I can also not tell you where I've been really positive, so I don't know.
Okay, so if my knowledge of German vocabulary is good enough, I think wir müssen nur wollen is all we have to do is want, all we have to do is will, use our
want
power.
But the question is that really enough? Just wanting, you know, to do your New Year's resolution? In studio with us to partially answer that question is our DW colleague, Julia Fagin. Julia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Happy New Year, Julia.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And Julia, let's start with the first, probably most relevant question. Do you have a New Year's resolution?
No. No, because I have kind of an all the year resolution, which is not to put on more weight and maybe drink a little less.
So
but that is not, I didn't start.
With a concrete that resolution.
Yeah.
So it didn't, January 1st didn't roll around, you were like, that's it, I'm shedding the pounds.
No, I don't like these dates. I feel like they are, it's too imposed. If you want to make a change, choose something you really want to change and not something you think you have to change. For example, I also stopped smoking last year.
And that worked.
That worked. But I had to come to a point where I felt like, okay, now I really want it. I'm just, it's annoying. I feel annoyed by myself because I feel addicted.
Hold on. What do you mean by really wanting it?
I mean, we all know that doing sports is healthy and good. We all know that smoking is bad. So if it would be only that, and if that would be enough, the knowledge of something isn't good or is good for you, then everyone would be healthy and happy and everything would be very easy. But that's obviously not enough. So you have to, I feel like I always have to come to a point where I really feel the benefit for myself. So
use the word feel there.
Yeah.
So you got a rational understanding that it's good for you, but then when the feeling hits home,
that's something deeper.
To her credit, last year, we actually talked about this in studio last year as well, you had a 3-week experiment where you didn't touch a drop of alcohol, and we talked about how that made your body feel a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. And the reason we have you in here today is because you have another article out. This is on dw.com/science. The title is, Julia, you'll have to help me here.
Yeah, New Year's Eve, how to make resolutions for the new year.
And so you're the semi-expert here. So you should know how to do this stuff, Julia. We've just spoken, our listeners have just heard from quite a few Germans out on the streets who are trying to figure out how to do this. What can people do to stick to their resolutions?
Mm-hmm. There are a few steps you should be, or a few things you should be aware of to make that work. And the first thing is don't try to change like everything. So, for example, if you want to stop smoking, if you also want to lose weight, and if you also want to exercise more, pick one and take one step after the other. Because the expert I talked to said willpower isn't endless. We have a particular amount of willpower, and that can be, how do you say that, you can be used up.
Mm, sure.
So if you kind of multi-tracking your willpower, in the end you might not get
In fact, there's a body of scientific research on exactly that question, that it's related to glucose levels in your blood. It's related to the amount of sleep that you've had. And in fact, there was one famous example, and I'll be vague on the details because I don't remember them exactly, but where court judges tended to make different decisions after they had had lunch or in the afternoon, as opposed to early in the morning. And I believe the conclusion from that one was that as they got more and more tired, they stuck with the status quo. So if someone was in jail, they were not pardoned. They remained in jail, and that our decision-making...
Just like it's easier to resist the urge to eat something that may not be as healthy...
In the morning.
In the morning than it is at night when you are tired, depleted of energy.
When that bag of candy comes calling.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't put too much on your plate.
So choose one. But
choose one and don't make that goal too big.
Right.
But you don't want to have a tiny goal. Right?
Let's talk about your goal.
Which I'm still bitter about. That's part of the reason I brought up your wine last night. So my New Year's resolution for this year is to, at one point, one time, jog from my house to Deutsche Welle or back. It doesn't matter. One direction. It's 14 kilometers, 8.5 miles.
Oh, it's not even from your house to Deutsche Welle.
Will you stop making fun of him? We spent lunch pretty
much. Wait, what are you trying to say here? What are you trying to say? It's not even what?
It's just because I thought the way I understood it at the lunch table was that you want to do this run from your house to Deutsche Welle and then back in the afternoon.
And you still thought that was a lame goal. You were laughing about, what did you say? Yeah. Once? One time
now
the whole year?
Now it's twice as lame.
8.5 miles? Only, so you thought it was 17 miles. Only 17 miles, Connor? What a lame goal. I'm bitter. I'm bitter about that comment.
Sorry. When I started doing exercising more, which is about a year ago, it was hard for the first weeks, but then I felt my muscles grow and I felt stronger, and that was great to see.
So when we check in with you again in January of 2021 or December of this year, how will we quantify your success? How will you know if you've been successful this year?
I don't have a resolution, so you
there's are out of luck. Okay, well, let me put it this way then. To all of our listeners out there, if you have a New Year's resolution and you want to share it, send it to spectrum@dw.com. We will read it on the air.
We would love to hear, regardless of how weird you think it is, what you want to change about yourself.
The weirder the better, actually.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, and we will broadcast it on the air and put some light social pressure on you. And Gabe, you and I will check in toward the end of this year, beginning of next year, and we'll find out if you've done it. Yulia, thank you.
And so will the entire Earth.
Thank you for joining us in studio today to talk New Year's resolutions.
Thank you for having me.
Go get him, Yulia.
Well, we are going to stick to the topic of motivation and changing yourself or trying to change yourself and failing, because I do think, Gabe, it's an important subject and one that we should go deeper into the science of it.
You remember that guy Toby that we saw out on the streets of Bonn?
The smoker. The
guy with the cigarette in his hand, exactly, who had failed a year before to accomplish his concrete goal of stopping smoking.
And it changed his outlook on life.
Yeah,
basically.
What he was saying, that people oftentimes make goals they can't achieve. That they don't match who they are.
Okay, so let's get a scientist on the line to figure out some more. Gabe, she is...
We've got Anja Achziger. She's a social psychologist. That's her field of study. An expert in human motivation. She's at New York University, currently on assignment in Abu Dhabi. And I asked her about that idea of
changing, the need or the desire to change, is that a uniquely human phenomenon?
No, because you need, so this is specifically human, of course. You have to think about yourself, you have a certain self-image, and if a New Year's resolution does not really fit with your self-concept, so the way you are thinking about self, you have the knowledge about yourself, yeah, you have the expectations about yourself, it might also not really work out. Yeah, you need a certain degree of self-awareness in order to strive for your goals and to be aware that you have some goals, some intentions.
But I guess I would argue that I'm not even sure how self-aware we humans are. And that's what I noticed on the streets. It's people are choosing New Year's resolutions out of a box. These are not original ideas. And one thing Gabe and I were discussing was if someone were to say my goal for next year, for 2020, is to learn more about moss, people would look at this guy like he was crazy. And it feels like people don't choose things like that. They choose these standardized categories. How can I choose things that are more true to myself? How can I change myself in a way that makes me more me and not more like everyone?
I think so. When you really have to be honest with yourself, yeah, do I just strive for goals that are really important for me and only for me, and not for so and so many other people's families and friends and stuff? And then it might become easier, of course. But sometimes you should also consider that other people, for instance, your doctors, they are not wrong, so to speak. Sometimes they really have the right and the right idea what you should do if it comes to health behavior and stuff, so it depends. Yeah, but in other cases it's clearly about forming some New Year's resolutions that are totally in accordance with your own motives, your interests and stuff. Otherwise it will not work out. So we have two things. One thing is you really have some pressure if it comes to health. Yeah, when people feel so under pressure that they start acting on their goals, it's important that you really have some interest on something. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to have one of these New Year's resolutions. That's totally clear.
Mm-hmm. Anya, New Year's resolutions aside, if we've got listeners out there who are struggling in terms of making a change, they want to change something about themselves, but can't. What advice would you give to them? Where do you start?
Sometimes we even have a problem. You set a certain intention and you have some commitment to it, and then you have to disengage for this intention. So this is sometimes also quite problematic for people, and I think this somehow addresses the question that you just raised here. And in these cases, they should think about the costs that they have when they strive for a certain goal. And costs can not only just be money, it's really the time you have to invest, other things that you have to neglect in order to strive for a goal. And if you just write them down, in many cases I just would advise or recommend people write all the negative consequences down in this case, and then it's just easier to disengage from a certain goal or from their goal striving, from being on track and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Who shouldn't make a resolution? Are there people out there who'd be much better off forgetting this whole charade, not disappointing themselves, and just staying the way they are?
People who already think that are not really good in goal striving, yeah, and that they really have a bad feeling about setting goals and they're not being able to achieve these goals. For these people, I would say, do not play this kind of party game, but just be honest. So this is what I'm doing, yeah. And so, for instance, to say I do not have a resolution this year.
I stopped my rambling. I don't do too much gambling these days. These days I seem to think about how all the changes came about my way.
Many thanks there to Anya Oxiger, professor of social psychology at New York University, currently on assignment in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, she is all over the place. Originally German, I don't know which parts of the world she hasn't seen. Well, we are going to travel further afield around the world and switch gears here, switch subjects. And we are going to look ahead for all of our stargazer fans out there, for all these stargazers. I consider myself one of them. And we do have a lot of, especially on our social media channels, that becomes very, very obvious as soon as we post topics on that. But for now, we are going to go to our space correspondent. His name is Dirk Lorenzen. Germans know him very well. You'll hear him on German radio all the time talking about the stars. And Dirk is on the line out of Hawaii at the moment, and we'll get to that later, why he's there. But first, Dirk, looking ahead at 2020, can you let us know some of the most exciting event that's going to happen this year?
The biggest event in 2020 is a total solar eclipse that's happening on December 14th. But unfortunately, this is visible only for very few stargazers. You have to go to southern Chile and southern Argentina. Then you're able to see how the new moon blocks the sun. And that's always very exciting because for at most 2 minutes and 10 seconds, the day turns into night. So all of a sudden you see the stars in the sky, and around the black new moon, you see this bright and wonderful corona. So that's definitely the most spectacular event in the sky in 2020.
Okay, so for those of our listeners who are not going to be in southern South America to witness that event, what is the next biggest event in the night sky in 2020, Dirk?
That's for sure the planet Mars. Mars, the red planet, will approach Earth in early October to within 62 million kilometers. It's almost as close as it can ever get. That means Mars will be a very bright planet in the night sky. And from September to December, you can't hardly miss it because it's so bright. It's a bright reddish spot in the constellation of Pisces, and you can see it all night long.
Okay, so Mars is going to be really close. So basically, in the next couple of years, when we begin hopefully traveling to Mars, this would be the time that we would do it, right? When Mars is at its closest point to Earth?
Yes. So it's every other year is a Mars year. Otherwise, it's senseless to launch a spacecraft to go to Mars. And this year, it's amazing. Four space agencies take advantage of the close encounter of Mars. So Europe, the European Space Agency, ESA, NASA, the Chinese, and even the United Arab Emirates, all four are sending spacecrafts to Mars. So it's almost a rush hour in the solar system. Many spacecrafts are going to Mars.
Okay. Just last night and the night before it, I saw a very bright point in the evening sky. I mean, it's winter in Germany. You don't get too many clear skies in this part of Germany. And actually, one of my children said, "Oh, look at that bright star." But it wasn't a bright star, was it?
No, it wasn't a star. It was a brightest planet. That was Venus. Mars is the outer neighbor from Earth, and Venus is the inner neighbor. So it's Venus orbits the sun within the Earth's orbit. And right now, on the northern hemisphere, Venus has a bright appearance as evening star, and this will continue all the way through, let's say, mid-May. In early April, it will just cross, just by chance, the famous star cluster of the Pleiades on April the 3rd. So this will be very nice to observe how Venus is approaching this star cluster on April the 3rd. So stargazers are looking forward for a perfect Venus season that's coming up.
April 3rd, I'll put that in my calendar. What else can we expect this year?
Then, of course, we have the two biggest planets in the sky that are Saturn and Jupiter, and they will have a very close encounter on December the 21st. So then Jupiter passes Saturn, so Jupiter only needs 12 years to circle the sun. Saturn is much slower. It takes 30 years for Saturn to go to do one circle around the sun. And on December 21st, they are coming really very close together in the evening sky, and that's happening only once in 20 years, so this is very exciting. And before that means in July and August, we can see both planets very nice in the evening sky, close together. And then, from let's say in September, October, November, we can see how Jupiter is approaching Saturn, and then we get this very close encounter on December 21st.
Dirk, you mentioned at the beginning the solar eclipse that's going to happen in December as well. If I remember correctly from our last talk, you chase these events, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And will you be going down south to Argentina, Chile, to see the solar eclipse?
If I'm still around, and of course, if I'm in the shape to do that, then of course I will do that. So I made all the arrangements already. It will be my 16th total solar eclipse. And it's just, we always say something is mind-blowing, but this is really completely out of the world. I mean, human beings are not made for that in the middle of the day, the sun disappears. And being an astrophysicist by education, I mean, I know what's happening there. So, but still, it really touches you, and you feel something is wrong. And so it's always absolutely amazing. It's the beauty of this event is just you can't describe it to anybody else who has never seen it. I mean, there's a saying among astronomers. It's a joke. Most young people don't understand because they don't know what a fax machine is. But astronomers used to say to explain the experience of a total solar eclipse to somebody who has not seen one is as possible as to deliver a pizza but with a fax machine. So there's something okay. coming out of the machine, but it's nothing to do with pizza. So I can talk now for hours, but still you won't really understand what a total solar eclipse is about. It's absolutely amazing.
Okay, and just a reminder for all of our listeners out there in the Northern Hemisphere, December, of course, in the Southern Hemisphere will be summertime, so relatively nice weather expected down there. And speaking of relatively nice weather, Dirk, can you tell our listeners where you are right now and why?
I'm right now in Honolulu, Hawaii, because here's a winter meeting of the American Astronomical Society, and that's the biggest astronomy meeting of the year. 3,500 astronomers from all over the world are gathering here and discussing hot topics, new discoveries, future projects in space. So it's for a space nerd like me, this is paradise, and it's absolutely exciting to talk to the scientists here and to listen to talks and to chat with them.
Dirk Lorenzen, our space correspondent, thank you for talking to us about what to expect in 2020.
Thanks a lot.
Mit dem Schlagbohrer weiten, könnt glücklich sein und trotzdem Konzerne leiten. Wir können alles schaffen, genau wie die tollen dressierten Affen. Wir müssen noch wollen, wir müssen noch wollen, müssen noch wollen, wir müssen noch wollen, müssen noch wollen.
I like that song. The more I hear it. Wir müssen nur wollen.
Just gotta want it.
We just gotta want it. Now, as we wrap up the show, Gabe, I have spoken about my New Year's resolution, which was mocked by my DW colleagues. Yulia Fagin also talked about her New Year's resolution, which I kind of mocked. And that leaves you, Gabe. You have not yet spoken about your 2020 resolution, and it kind of ties in, or it directly ties in, to why you never asked a single question in that last interview with Dirk Lorenzen. Why you, I was going to say basically weren't there, but for you left.
I was in the studio, and I had a hypoglycemic incident. That means a blood sugar issue. I'm a type 1 diabetic. And all of a sudden, I mean, you were talking to him, and all of a sudden, I didn't know what you guys were talking about or really where I was. My blood sugar had plummeted so low that I was in really, really bad shape. And that is something I've been working on for a long time. I've been a diabetic for half my life. And this year, I really, really want to get on top of it so that incidents like that do not happen again. Get on top of blood glucose monitoring. I got a new
I was just going to say, I'm going to press you on details here. What does that actually mean?
Yeah, that I've got a new sensor that is not implanted, but it's on my arm at all times, monitoring my blood sugar, and it's kind of communicating with my smartphone, with the NFC technology, telling me at all times where my blood sugar is, so that, yeah, I don't have those kinds of incidents. That is, it's pretty serious. Anyone with the disease or anyone with a chronic disease knows that staying on top of the affliction is, it takes energy, it's hard, but it is incredibly important, and that's what I'm gonna be working on.
Well, here is to your
New Year's resolution.
Yeah, and here's to your health in 2020, Gabe, and to all of our listeners' health in 2020, whether or not that is your explicit New Year's resolution or not. A special thanks again to Dirk Lorenzen for talking to us on this broadcast, to our colleague Yulia Fagin,
Professor Anya Achziger of New York University, currently on assignment in Abu Dhabi right now.
Exactly. And to our studio technician, Gert Georgi.
The man pressing the buttons behind the window, GG.
And again, I will repeat what I said earlier in the show. To all of our listeners out there, please, if you have New Year's resolutions, send them our way. We will broadcast them if they are appropriate for the airwaves.
Or if you have anything else to say to us,
Spectrum.
Let us know. Spectrum@dw.com. Get in touch.
With that in mind, have a wonderful week and a wonderful
year
2020 ahead.